Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today I have another great guest. Her name is Pamela McQuaid. So, Pamela, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Nancy.
Now, Pamela, let's let listeners know a little bit about who Pamela is. So why don't you talk a little bit about Pamela and how she got to be where she is today?
Okay, so my company is called Spirituality is Sexy, and I'm a writer, a speaker, and a spirit coach. So it's been through some adversity in my life that I have undertaken this spiritual path, but it's just wonderful, and I'm absolutely fulfilling and doing what I'm meant to be doing.
It's really funny, Pamela, because a lot of people don't equate sexy to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about how they really do go hand in hand.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. This has come up a lot in the last few months as I'm speaking and talking to different people. You know, I had this thought. It's really funny how life unfolds as it may. When I was in the corporate world, which is what I did for 20 years of my life, and I woke up, you know, I was going through that waking up process, and all of a sudden a job that I was very successful in, and I became very, very unhappy. And really, it was a spiritual awakening, which took several years. But in the meantime, I had been journaling down thoughts that would come to my mind. And it's funny, these things would happen when I was at work a lot of times. So I kept a little journal at work, and Spirituality is Sexy was something that I had written down because, you know, I was in corporate banking for 10 years out of my 20 in corporate America in some form or fashion. And when I was writing these things down, none of this made sense to me at all. I was like, oh, spirituality is sexy. Oh, and I had lots of other things, including the book that I'm almost completed writing here, had lots of different things journaled down. So it was funny. I had always known that I wanted to be a speaker, that I was going to be a motivational speaker, but I really didn't know how I was to get there or how does that even relate to banking. And, you know, so you start having your awakening, and I became very unhappy at work, sort of like the you hear this a lot where you go from being happy to absolutely miserable almost overnight. I mean, I just could not even tolerate being there. It was just such a strong energy. So as fate would have it, I quit my job. And I've spent the last several years really healing, cleansing and healing, and raising my consciousness and doing various things. And that's what my book is about that I've written now. So Spirituality is Sexy, you know, pretty much in the forefront after I'd quit my job and I discovered, oh, I'm supposed to be writing a book and talk about all these experiences and whatnot. And Spirituality is Sexy came up, and it just came to me one day, I guess a little angel on my shoulder, and said, this is your company. So I'd had this name for a long time, and the gist of it is this. A lot of times people think spirituality is sexy, and they really think it in terms of sex, and it's really not. It's really about bringing spirituality back. It's about spirituality being hip and fun, and it's a way to live your life. Does that make sense?
It does. And a lot of people, again, Pamela, they go, well, but how can you do that? How can you live your life and be fun and have all this good stuff when you're so worried about everything that's going on in your life and you kind of stay attached to the worry part rather than the fun part?
Yeah, well, that's what my book is about. So as you've heard me talking about this book, I had been working on this book for quite a while, and it's funny, I've been prompted now to finish the book. You know, I've been doing so many other things, and finally this summer I've gotten the, you need to finish your book by the end of the summer. So it's almost completed here. So this is what I write about, and this has been my experience in life. My book is called Pauper to Princess, Three Keys to Unlock Your Inner Richness. The three keys are raising your consciousness, cleansing and healing your body, and filling your heart with love. And this is a book about my life and how I did those things. How did I transform myself from a pauper, meaning being very spiritually dead, into a princess, meaning being very spiritually rich? And, you know, with these times, you know, we're in times of great change. There's a lot of perceived chaos going on in the world, but really we're in a time of, I think, great spiritual growth. I think so many are starting to wake up and understand that, you know what, their life is out of balance, they're unhappy, and all of the places they put their faith in their job and their materialistic goods and whatever that is not getting them to true happiness. The only way you can do that is through an inner spiritual richness. And that's what I write about and speak about, and that's what I'm obviously very passionate about, because part of my life that I didn't say, Nancy, you know some of this, but, you know, my life has been filled with adversity. From the time I was a young girl, you know, I grew up in a household that, although my parents are loving people, there were a lot of things that transpired. It was very chaotic in that household, and I never felt really loved there. And so that pattern set forth a life. I was filling my entire life with anyone who didn't love me. I was just spiritually bankrupt. And then as life has it and you go about, and my first marriage, of course, was a huge learning lesson, but a complete disaster to the point of I almost committed suicide. And that was it wasn't my awakening point, but it really opened up a thought of, God does not want me to live this way. This is not the right way to live. I've got to pull this together somehow. So the common denominator here is Pamela McQuaid. At the time, my name was different, of course, but I thought, I am attracting this. I'm the common denominator. My life had been filled with men that cheated on me. I was unhappy. I had friends that weren't good to me, and I just thought, why does this keep happening? It was a pattern. And everybody has these patterns that go on in their life. And so I finally then divorced him and got out of that relationship. And the healing process started at a very small level then. It really wasn't until I actually awakened spiritually, I really started coming forth into who I was, self-awareness, and what I was here to do and what my mission was, that I really started understanding that I needed to really heal my life. And when I speak of healing, there are lots of ways to heal. You can heal through listening to shows like this, through vibrations, through energy in terms of healing words that people write or speak. But I'm talking in-depth energy healing. And I've really submitted to, you know, every form of that over the last few years. And it's just, it's miraculous on so many levels, because then you understand that, okay, I just quit a six-figure income that I was doing very, very well into really putting financial strain on our marriage and our home, because we had just built a beautiful new home, to understanding that this cleansing and healing of all of my blocks and doing what Spirit was guiding me to do, everything has worked out wonderfully. So, you know, that's what people are missing right now. They're missing the spiritual piece. People are out of balance. You know, a lot of people have, you know, they don't get the body, mind, soul connection. A lot of people I talk to, it's sort of like, wow, you know, I really didn't even know what spirit was, which kind of scares me. But, you know, you have that coming out. So it's just, you know, it's wonderful, but you've got to uncover some of this to transform your life, because the ways of the old, what I call it, of investing in materialism and people and things aren't going to get it done. You have to have a much deeper connection with the divine within yourself.
Yeah, I agree totally. And the thing is, like, when I'm doing a lot of my counseling sessions, you know, we go over that, because people have got so many different hang-ups about, you know, their life and how they don't deserve something and how they're just going to kind of stay where they're at and, you know, everything is going to work out that way. And they stay very, very miserable. And those people, they keep coming, you know, wanting somebody to fix it for them. And I try to get them to understand that I cannot fix it for you, that it's going to take your work, your time, your energy, and really loving yourself, liking yourself, and trusting that inner being in you to really start to wake up.
And you're so right, and you're bringing something that has been on my mind a lot lately is, in my teachings, you know, you tend to want to really help heal the world. And as of late, you know, the angels have been really at me about, you know what, Pam, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, because I think as teachers, you know, we so get caught up, you really can see how people can transform, but you cannot force people to do that. You have to provide tools. So, you know, I've really learned to step back and say, okay, here's my life. Here are the tools that I can offer you, and I can help you get there, but you've got to do the work. You can't force people to do things. So it's funny, but yeah, you got to pick and choose your battles. And, you know, there's something that really rings true with this as well that I want to mention. I talk about this a lot in my book about the golden path. And what I refer to that is, you know, we all have sacred contracts in life. And there is a road that I call the golden path, meaning you have a way that in my mind is laid out by God. That it doesn't mean you're not going to learn lessons, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to learn and evolve. So you're going to learn lessons. But the lessons don't have to be as challenging and difficult if you stay in line with your golden path, which is really where your intuition and learning to listen to what your spirit tells you to do. If you follow that, it takes you down an easier road. It's when you're ignoring that when things become very challenging. And so that was my life. I was ignoring my spirit, and I just had some, I mean, I had terrible things going on. And in that, a lot of people develop addictions. So that's people that a lot of times you see that have alcohol problems, drug problems, there's gambling, sexual addictions, you know, shopping, you can name all of these, but you get off your path, your golden road, you're still going to get to your destiny, but you can delay it. It can be very, very painful journey. Things don't have to be that hard, but you got to learn to get in touch with spirit. And truly, Nancy, I'm such an advocate of this. I just don't believe that you can really get in touch with your spirit and really listen to that voice unless you raise your vibrations, cleanse and heal your body. I just don't know any other way.
There isn't. And people, you know, they'll read many, many books, because there's many, many, many books out there, Pamela, and they'll read them and they'll try to follow portions of the book. But they're not doing what their inner being is telling them, because they'll read the book because, oh, this is a popular seller and everybody's reading it, so it's going to do the trick. So they read it as, okay, this is a trick. And when it doesn't happen, they get all upset, go, well, it didn't work for me, so nothing must work. You know?
Right.
And I think people have that very lazy, say that, but very lazy whatever to, you know, boot themselves in the butt to get them going.
Everybody wants a quick fix, and I'm here to tell you, who's ever listening out there, my life, it's not a quick fix. You know, the thing is, there is adversity all over the place, and this cleansing and healing thing is not easy. It brings up, as your energy cleansing stuff out that are deep, deep wounds, it's very painful. And you know, it's funny, a lot of times I'm sitting here talking about this and I say, but why am I going to put myself through that? Because you will never know true peace and happiness unless you do. You've got to get through it. So, you know, it's like I can live my life and things are over here functioning in disharmony. I'm out of balance, and I'm not going to change anything that I'm doing to make that differently. So you're going to continue to struggle. It's called struggle and strife. So to get to this other place of balance and peace and harmony, you have to go through these steps. They're not easy to get through them, and you're continually challenged, and you have lessons to learn. But there's no way to overcome this other scenario unless you do that. It's sort of like you have to go through the fire to get to the glory. That's what it's like. But if you don't go through that, you can't rise to a higher level. And in these days and times where the world is in seeming chaos, it's even more and more and more important for people within themselves to come to a place of peace, harmony, and prosperity in my mind. And it can be done. And it's beautiful and wonderful. And people like you, Nancy, are having these programs and speakers on that are giving testament to, you know what, I think in terms of my book and all that I'm doing, people can relate because, you know what, I came from nothing. I mean, my whole life has been set up for this purpose. So I am just like you. I'm a person that was, you know, born and raised in a middle-income family in the Midwest. I wasn't, you know, abused or anything in my family, but there was a lot of disharmony. There was a lot of issues of me not feeling loved or not getting what I needed, and then, you know, going through life and making poor decisions and, you know, not being in touch with spirit, not listening to the guidance that I was getting back then to make, you know, I just about drank myself to death. You know, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I just was pretty close, you know, married a guy that was, you know, an abuser, you know, a cheater, verbally abusive, you know, I could go on and on with that. He was on drugs, you know, and that sort of thing. So you go through all these things. I've been through so many experiences. You know what? People can relate. It's like, I am you. I have been through all of this. And so I always say, invest in success. Invest in teachers that have been there and done that and have risen to a grander occasion.
And the last statement that you just made about invest in teachers and leaders who have been there, that is very, very true, because there's many people out there, Pamela, that talk it, but they don't really walk it. Mm-hmm. And I have lots of problems with people like that. And there's a very, very many of them. So it's important that if you're going to go to somebody, they do have the experiences, and they're not afraid to talk about them and not stay shut down about them, because that's not helping anybody who comes to you.
Exactly.
You know? And there's many people out there, Pamela, when they come to me, they have children, and I, and their marriage is horrible. They're miserable. Their children are miserable. And I say to them, you know, are you happy? And they go, well, no. I go, are your children happy? Well, they seem to be. That's why I'm staying in the marriage. I go, no, you take another look. Because if you're that unhappy, they're picking up your energy, and kids will do what kids see.
Ah, that's so true. That is so true. It's, I wrote on Facebook, I don't know, there was just a little saying I came up with, if your heart is happy, so is your home. Kids are like, you know, and they're one of my passions. I have two little boys. They are psychic sponges. People just are so naive to what you're saying is, oh, yeah, my kids. No, no, no. If you really take deep reflection, I mean, this was one of the challenges I went through when I first had my kids, was that I was in corporate America. I was so miserable that it was like the light had really been switched on. I had not had my youngest yet. I had just given birth to my oldest, and he was maybe 1 year old. And it was dawning on me. I was so miserable. I was in such a state of out of balance and unhealed, and just all of these issues were rising to the surface, that I would just have these bouts of anger. I was so angry. And, you know, it's sitting there with this little boy that there were days I'd wake up and I was just not mean to him, but I was just so unhappy that I used to think, gosh, and he would just be a bear cat for the whole day. And it finally dawned on me that, you know what, if I'm in a good mood, he's in a good mood. And if I'm in a bad mood, he's in a bad mood. He's picking up my energy, even if I was being nice and playing with him. So it's so, so true that kids, it's just like if you can imagine a bubble of light that surrounds you, and everyone that's in your presence feels that light. So if that is dirty, low energy, of course your kids are picking up on that. No matter how much you don't want them to, or no matter you're playing and doing all of these things and you think you're trying, nope, they pick up on, they walk into that bubble of your energy, and that is their energy, and it reflects on them. And that's how I tell people to distinguish if something is good or bad for them, because it's just as simple as meeting a new person or going into a new restaurant or whatever that looks like. If something just doesn't feel right, it's not. That's not the energy for you. If it does feel good and something is clicking and feels right, then it is. You should move forward with that. It's people that you meet, places that you go, it's all about distinguishing that good vibrational energy versus what isn't good over here. Because if I had just paid attention, Nancy, to that one thing years before, that one thing, and said, this person feels right, and I wouldn't have married my first husband. Of course it didn't feel right. There were many warning signs. I just chose to ignore them.
Mm-hmm. Which many people do. You know, they just do. Because like I said, when I do my counseling and stuff, I mean, I hear about there's relationships, and they keep settling and settling and settling, and I go, look in the mirror. Do you even like yourself? You know, sometimes I'm a brute because I don't know any other way to help people understand that they don't have to settle, that they don't have to keep doing the same things that they're doing. They just have to like themselves, love themselves, want the best for themselves. And that's not selfish. And people go, but isn't that selfish? No, it isn't, because the way it works is with your energy. If you can't like yourself, love yourself, and be happy in that environment, you're not going to make anybody else happy around you either. But if you are in that positive light, then everything else that comes in contact with you will have that positive energy too. And the people go, well, I never thought of it like that. And it's like, well, no, but now you can, okay? You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's
true.
Re-coaching them. Yeah, it's re-coaching them to understand that they don't have to settle for any reason. You said you quit a six-figure income. Mm-hmm. I left Chicago. I had a practice there for 32 years, okay? 32 years. And I needed to come down to New Mexico to open up my School of Now. And
mm-hmm.
I decided, made up my mind. I moved 5 months ago, and here's what I heard from a lot of people, and it was hysterical. They said to me, Pamela, how could you give up everything? How could you just up and give up? And I, you know, my answer was, I'm not giving up. I'm extending it.
And do you know what? This is what has been on my mind. This has been something that keeps coming to me in the last month. Walk fearlessly. The thing is that God is the source of everything, the source of your supply of everything. And if you are following your guidance, which you are, everything will be supplied. You're not walking away from anything. You're walking into a greater reality. But it's about people don't have that kind of faith. You know, it truly is, you know, stepping out on a limb and doing something. And I'll give you another example. You're talking about this energy. I was thinking about this in a couple. This has happened in my relationship with my husband now, where my energy and vibration keep raising, and his is not, because, you know, he's not a very spiritual. So we've had a lot of combat going on. You know, we love each other. And yet it's sort of like, you know, a positive and a negative can't conspire. Now, as he's trying to learn and we're, you know, doing this kind of thing, there was about a year ago that things were at real odds because, you know, if your vibration is higher and someone isn't, because I speak this too, as you begin to grow and expand and evolve and your energy goes up, everything around you will start changing. And that is just a natural thing that is supposed to occur, because what's happening is you'll find relationships fall by the wayside, friendships, all of these things, but what you're gathering then are people that are at that higher level with you, and it's meant to happen this way. So people fear change so drastically that they're not willing to step out because they fear change, they don't have faith, and they can't walk fearlessly. You have to do all three of those things, and that takes work too, and it's not always easy. And, oh, well, gosh, you know, I'm going to do this. I was meant to do this. Had I never followed this guidance to do this, my life would be in a miserable state of affairs at this point. My husband and I have a contract that is divinely guided, and whatever is to happen, there will happen. So it's about having those stronger faiths and giving out love and doing all the things you're meant to do, but knowing that, see, I look at things, I'm a positive thinker, so I always look at things as a very positive, everything's meant to be, there are no accidents, you know, what do I have to learn from these experiences, how am I here to help, and am I on my golden road, am I doing what I'm being guided to do and not let my ego get in the way?
Some of the problem right there, too many people let their ego get in the way. Because I don't know, Pamela, if they understand how ego is a detriment to their, you know, getting themselves in balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tend to worry about, well, what's this person going to think, or what's that person going to think, or, you know, maybe I'm too good for this, or maybe I can't do that for whatever reason, because, you know, and they come up with many, many reasons and excuses.
Yeah.
And that ego, once it is out of the way and it's really kind of bare bone, you don't have excuses. You have faith, you have trust, and you have love, and you have willpower to succeed.
That's right. And, you know, the ego is but a veil of illusion. And that's what so many don't see, that, you know, your ego is the materialism in your life. It's this, you know, power, the greed. It's all this sort of like the movie screen goes down and it blocks you from what the real truth is. That's what ego does. And it is hard. It is hard because I think that the world, we're so caught up in egoistic behaviors. That, again, I believe with my heart of hearts as I sit here and speak, those times are changing. I mean, we are definitely reigning in a more spiritual age where the ego is meant to subside and we are meant to be back in touch. And you keep hearing me say, you know, spirituality is sexy, bringing spirituality back. It never went away, but people are starting to awaken and there's holes in this illusion because they're waking up and their lives are miserable. You know, it's sort of like you're waking up and, you know, you could have whatever it is that you have, this grand house or making a lot of money and doing, but so many people are coming to me and they're just miserable. Their spirits are dying. Their light is dim. And they're going, you know, but I feel like I have to do these things. Well, I too was a girl who, you know, everyone expects something out of you, you know. I went to college. I'm an educated person. I was supposed to be in corporate jobs and making a certain amount of money and having a certain amount of power. And I, for so much of my life, really did what I felt like others wanted me to do. I'm a pleaser. And to really buck that system and open up to what my real destiny was, I mean, it's been a challenging road. I mean, I can tell you when this whole spirituality and me awakening and quitting my job, I mean, there wasn't a single person in my husband's family or my family that, I mean, everyone thought I had jumped off the cliff with no rope. Everybody was like, Pam's going through a midlife crisis. What's happening? I mean, you know, it's just people are still in shock over it all. And it's like, but don't you see? Had I not finally done this, if you do not awaken to your destiny and your life purpose, you will die. I don't care what that looks like. I would have gotten sick. I would have had some other bad things occur until I got back in line. You've got to get in line. And it doesn't have to be that hard and that dramatic. It can simply be you're waking up and you're unhappy with your life. Any form of unhappiness is telling you you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You're out of balance.
Yeah, and again, people, they have a very hard time making a change because they want something proof positive with no chance of any risk, and they want it all. And it's like you can't really have it all like that unless you're willing to take that leap and that trust. And
that's right.
Support.
And they don't want to face the pain because the realization is when you start cleansing and healing that, hey, my mom and dad never really loved me, or at least I never felt like they did. I mean, that's pretty painful to confront. There's a lot of anger and rage and anxiety. And because really what it is, Nancy, is you're waking up and you're learning to take your own responsibility. How am I attracting this in my life? And what blocks do I have that are causing me to attract that? Because what you think, like I always knew and I still know in my mind that my parents loved me, but because of different experiences growing up there, my subconscious belief was that I was never loved. I had felt really abandoned by them. And so it's your subconscious that attracts what you're getting in life. And until you remove those blocks, you cannot proceed forward out of that situation. You will keep going through it, meaning, you know, you have a block and you people, what I guess I'm trying to say is a lot of times you see this in marriage. People will keep marrying and thinking that, oh, it's that person, so they divorce that person, and they marry a different person and have the same experience, and they go, oh, well, gosh, why am I, you know, oh, poor me, my victim hat is on, and really it's all about them.
Right.
It's all about what they're attracting, and it's a sign into what they're blocked in. I'm attracting these types of people because there's a block. I either don't feel worthy, I don't feel good enough, I don't feel loved. There's some deep emotional block that continues to attract a certain type. So until you clear those, and it's wonderful because once you do clear those, your vibration starts raising, you start attracting better people.
Mm-hmm. Much better.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's hard to get through.
It is, and you're right, you know, and it works. That's the thing. Now, I'm going to, for your spirit coaching, because you have, like a little thing on your website that says spirit coaching empowers mm-hmm. you too. Now, I'm want you to add just a little comment about why it's important and, you know, any maybe little things you can help people to even start doing it. So the first one is called Restore, which we really talked about, the balance to body, mind, and soul. Mm-hmm. But can you give them just a little bit an example of why that is important or how it could make them work better or feel better?
Yeah, really in restoring, and there are many things I think of when I'm talking about restore, but it's really about restoring your life back into balance. And, you know, I think the most simplistic way you can do this is simplify your life. And that really involves, you know, turn off in your house all of these negative things that are going on that are filling your mind. If you can't calm the waters of your mind, that's not allowing you to restore and replenish your reserves. Meaning, you go to work, you're on the computer all day, you have a BlackBerry, you come home, you're checking your home email, your work email, and your BlackBerry. Then you turn on TV, and how many TV programs are you watching that are really helping you bring simplicity and balance? Everything is an energy wave, and people have gotten so caught up in negative programming of some form or fashion. I mean, computers serve their purpose, and so does TV and all of that, but it's all about where you're putting your energy. So if you're putting your energy in pain-filled programming, is what I call it, shows that are not good energy, about death and destruction all the time types of things, you're doing nothing good to restore yourself. So you've got to learn to simplify. Shut off the TV a little bit. Read a book. Shut the computer off. You don't have to have all of those things going on, but you become addicted to that. It's so easy to do that. I find myself in habits like that too sometimes, where that's how people communicate with me a lot, so I'm checking my email a lot. And finally, I've just come to, gosh, if I'm going to get any writing done or anything done here, check it in the morning and check it later in the afternoon or in the evening. But you just have to really start simplifying. Get out in nature. Take a walk. Read a book that makes you feel good. Do something that makes you feel good. That's when your soul starts speaking to you, or one of the ways.
Right. And then the next one you have is explore, and it says the importance of making wiser choices.
Yes. So, again, the simplistic rule is if it feels good, it is good. If it doesn't feel good, it's not. So you make wiser choices about where you focus your energy. Again, I use TV a lot. TV serves a valuable purpose, but, you know, would we rather be watching a Wayne Dyer programming that you're really getting some spiritual insight and knowledge and something that really inspires you and lifts you up to change your life, or are you just turning on another soap opera that's sort of mind-numbing? You know, nothing really good is emanating there. It's not giving you the opportunity to really improve your life in any way. So I'm just all about living a life that everything that I'm doing is somehow improving my life. It's a different way of thinking. It's not hard to do once you learn to start doing it, but to break the habits to get into it, it takes consistent work.
Mm-hmm. So the next one you have is examine how fate and free will shape your future.
Yeah, so fate and free will, everybody has their destinies. And within those destinies, those are, you know, the points in your life that you're going to fulfill. It's a contract of sorts that you were meant to fulfill. You're going to reach those destiny points. Now, you have the free will choice to do whatever it is you want to do. So it's sort of like I talk about the golden path. You can take the golden road into your destiny, which is sort of like the interstate highway, which means it's much smoother to take that route to get to your destiny. Or you can amble around and take all the back roads of the country and go through the detoured roads and have a lot of bumps and bruises along the path. You're still going to always arrive to your destiny, but you've got a choice in how you get there. So unless you're really plugged in and attuned to your spirit, you're usually in the back roads of the country, and that's usually not very fun. Once you become aligned to what spirit's leading you to do, your free will choice is that you're, hey, listening to spirit, and you're going a smoother route. So destiny is something that will happen. Your choice in free will really is about how you're going to arrive there.
And then you have unveil. And with that, you say your desires, dreams, and put them into action today.
Yes. You have to really work in terms of it's wonderful. I talk about scrapboarding a lot, visualization. These are all energy tools that can help you cleanse and heal. And, you know, if you don't have a vision of where you're going and what you desire, it's hard to make that come forth. That's one piece. You know, obviously, affirming the positive and visualizing and all of these things. But you know what? If you're not putting forth the appropriate energy to get where you're going, it would be like me sitting there saying, okay, I want to be a motivational speaker, and do all of these things. And yet I maybe even want to be a writer, but I'm not putting forth any energy. I'm back in corporate America. I'm not writing my book. I'm not doing anything to prepare for my future. So a lot of people get caught up in the dream and they think that they can just affirm the positive, because that's a big thing, the law of attraction, affirming the positive. And those are all things you have to do, but it's just one or two keys. You also have to put energy forth to get there. You have to help yourself. You know, God helps those who help themselves. You have to do the same. So you have to put energy forth towards realizing that dream. And energy doesn't come. I want to be very clear about this. Energy can be in a lot of forms of visualization and affirming and doing all of these things. I think a lot of people think you have to work really hard. That's the mentality, the work hard mentality. No, you don't have to go out there and work yourself to death to get there. You have to think more spiritually and learn how do the spiritual masters get to where they're going. What have they taught us about putting forth appropriate energy to arrive at your goals? And there's lots of things here, meditating and praying and different things.
Mm-hmm. And all of those are very important. And the next one you have is identify the inner compass that guides your life.
Right, and the inner compass is that spirit. So, you know, getting in tune with the whispers of your soul, you know, really in a nutshell, your soul and your spirit is situated in your heart. So really getting in tune with what you're being guided to do. So again, it can be just how are you feeling, but some people are very, you know, they get messages. You know, you get them, you hear things, or you have an intuition, a gut feeling. Like I always challenge people to say, okay, the last time you had that gut feeling and you didn't do what you were being guided to do, did it work out well? I've not had anyone say, yes, it did. It never does. So if, yeah, right. So, you know, again, and then it's having the faith to act on your gut feelings when they're leading you in a good way too. So you get it. It may not make sense at the time, but gosh, I'm really led to go do this. Take a chance once in a while and follow those things. That's the inner voice of spirit talking. So it can be intuition. It comes a lot in dreams. More and more people you're hearing are having very prophetic dreams or messages and learning to interpret those symbols and what you're being guided there. I love using the symbology of animals and, you know, there's symbols and animals and lots of spiritual messengers that start coming around. For instance, when I went through this process of transforming my life, I had butterflies showing up all the time. And if you weren't in tune with your animal and what they're there to guide you, I mean, I was having butterflies all around me all the time, continue to have that. Well, if you know anything about this, butterflies are a symbol of transformation. And it means, you know, I was having them in the flesh, you know, butterflies flying around me all the time, but you can dream about butterflies, you can look in a magazine and see lots of pictures of butterflies. It's getting that inner voice where you're in sync when you know, you get certain intuitive hits. And animals are wonderful, probably because I'm such an animal lover, you know, so I'm obviously attracting, I get messages from animals all the time in my dreams and my waking, you know, so I know to pay attention now when an animal enters my life, but they're symbols and they're actual physical things. You know, feathers are great. Another example, you know, when I'm needing to know if I'm on the right path and I get shown several feathers or whatnot, I always know, okay, my angelic realm, they're telling me I'm on the right path, keep moving forward. But you have to read. You have to learn to uncover what those messages are. I love that whole concept. But you can't get in tune with that kind of guidance, again, until you start you know, spiritually learning. Learn what soul speak is to you, because it's going to be different for everyone.
Right. And now here's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Discover the power of loving yourself first.
I love this, because your job is you. And I have so many people like, oh my gosh, she's just spoken blasphemy. I mean, literally, you know, you can just see people's face, they're appalled, like, are you a narcissist or what? But it is, because this is the principle. Your job is you. And it means that you have got to do whatever it takes within your life to fill your heart with love for yourself, cleanse and heal your body, raise your consciousness, get in tune, in sync, in harmony with yourself, because until you do that, you are doing no one else good. Because whatever is radiating within your heart is what is showing outside in your world, just how we talked about kids pick up on that. Everything you do comes from your heart, so you have got to learn to really pamper yourself, love yourself, be kind to yourself, heal yourself, do all of these things, because the heart is what is attracting everything to you. So people just think, no, 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 you know, I'm, you know, here I'm a wife and a mother and I've got to give to my children and all of this. Well, of course you do. I'm not saying give up responsibility of your motherly duties or your wifely duties or whatever your contracts are. But what I am saying, if you are not taking the appropriate time to do what your soul is telling you to do, you are going to create a state of unbalance, which is not going to bring positive things in your life. So it's very, very important. And we could go through a lot of examples about that, but it's sort of like, you know, you're working the corporate job. You know, this is me again. You know, I was making a 2-hour commute. I was miserable on top of it. It was a very rigorous job. I had a toddler at home. I was spent. I was literally working on the fumes of gas. So I had not only nothing to give to my child, very little to give to my husband, nothing to give to myself. And this is how it manifests. I slept all the time. I was in a state of depression. I cried a lot. I was angry. And I'm trying to juggle all of these emotions and yet stay positive for my child. And it was impossible, because I was just giving from a place that I had nothing to give. I had nothing left to give. And it was simply because I was not following my purpose. Once you start getting in touch with what your mission is, what your passion is, what your purpose is, it's amazing how much energy you've got and how much more in love with life you are. All of a sudden you can see the beauty of the trees. You know, so it's very true. You got to heal yourself first. You got to get right with yourself in every way before you can really start giving from a place of good intentions and love.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to use myself as a perfect example for what you just said, Pamela. Like I said, 4.5 months ago, I moved down here to New Mexico to open a school. While I've been here in that 4.5 months, I've been back to Chicago 3 times, so that took away a week each time. So I've really only been here about 3.5 months to actually work. In that time, I found people who are willing to donate a piece of property that's 22-acre plus, you know, possibly when I get approved with the board for my school to be built. I met a person who designed domes, who now has designed my school, and it's going to be up on my website soon. I met a person who writes grants. I met a group of people down here who are very, very much into, you know, the metaphysical, the spirituality of truth. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
to boot, I got David Icke to come and do a benefit that's going to be October 11th for A Child's Miracle Mind and the School of Now. So when people say to me, Pamela, well, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. It's going to take forever. I look at them, I go, wrong. You know, listen to some of the things that other people have done. But for me to have all of that stuff done so quickly, I made the right move when I gave up. And I didn't give up, but when I left Chicago to extend my 32 years of being an intuitive life coach to build this school. So,
right.
You know, all day long when people say, well, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, it's like, yes, you can. You just have to be convinced that you can. Now,
right.
Is there a way for people to contact you?
Oh, yeah. So go to my website, www.spiritualityissexy.com, or they can email me, Pamela@spiritualityissexy.com. That's just the easiest. Either way, you can get to me, whether you email me directly or if you go on my website, there's a place to fill out your information, to sign up for my newsletter or to contact me. You know, and either way is very easy, and I'd love to hear from people.
And you also have Blogspot.
Yes, and you know, that's interesting. They closed that Blogspot down. I'm sorry, I need to take that off my my website, but that group, Best Ever You, I'm actually working an agreement out with them. I'm going to be one of their spiritual experts. And they're a group in Maine. It's kind of an interesting synchronicity. This girl and I both grew up in Iowa, and we were both cheerleaders and all this. We had never met, and then we came together on Facebook, and it's just been a wonderful union. I've written a chapter in a book that they have coming out called Best Ever You, and their practice is online with experts that you can go for free advice, and they have now a magazine in Maine and all of this. So that was where my Blogspot was, but they decided to discontinue that, which is fine. But yeah, now I'll be one of the experts on their side as well. So, but I eventually, Nancy, this has been circling. I am on Facebook, and you can find me, Pamela J. McQuaid, on Facebook. And I know I'm really being guided here once my book comes out, and that I'm going to do a Twitter, a Spirituality is Sexy Twitter. I just have not started that. I feel like a better thing for me is to start that when the book comes out. So now I'm finishing my book here at the end of August, and we'll be looking for the appropriate agent to come forth, and feel like, you know, fall's going to bring just a good basket of sunflowers for me.
That would be great. If before you maybe find your agent, if somebody is interested in your book, will you make it available for them?
No, I will not have it in full form to do it now. Unfortunately, I'm going to wait until I'm actually published to make that available. Although I do a lot of, you know, if you follow me on Facebook, I do a group there at Spirit at Work. That, so if people want to find me on Facebook, Pamela J. McQuaid, and I'll invite you to a group that I write a weekly inspirational piece, and it's been very, very successful, people all over the world. And I do a lot of some of my writings in my book there, as well as other thoughts that I'm having through the week and whatnot. So that'd be a great way to stay in touch with some of my writings right now before my book comes out. Maybe I'm being overly confident here, Nancy, but I really feel like everything will be smooth like it was for you, you know, thinking positively. But I feel like the time is now, and that the agent will step forward and the publisher. I really feel like my book will be out this fall. So definitely, if you're interested in what I'm speaking, get in touch with me in some way.
Yeah, if your guides are pushing you that hard, believe me, it will be successful. You won't have a choice. It's the
yes,
way
right. Exciting, right? 2 years, yay! I'm arriving. So it is. It's very exciting.
It's good. The other thing is that you do have a few articles out there, and one of them that I think a lot of people might want to know about is how to argue without ruining a marriage.
Yeah. So that's a great point. On my website, I've got some articles that have been published, posted on there. And I had traveled earlier this year. I had done several television spots on this, how to argue, in your marriage without really ruining your marriage. So it's like this. It's all about, and I'll do a summarization so we don't have to cover every point. To me, it's really about communication. So many couples are not communicating. You have to take that time, and it's really about being friendly, being a good friend to your spouse or your partner. So so many people get in these marriages, and it's like they may love each other, but they don't like each other. We're not communicating, or they're not speaking a language of love. It's just sort of like you get into this mundane routine, day in and day out struggle, and people forget to connect back and support each other. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, things that I'm hearing with couples that I've talked to, things that are coming out of people's mouths, I mean, I say, would you speak to your best friend that way?
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't. You know, so why are you speaking to the love of your life this way? So it's really about the communication, making sure that communication, I call it speaking the language of love, really filling your language with uplifting things to say. I mean, yeah, sometimes you do have to hash through the issues, but you always should compliment and say what's going right and what you love and all of these things and speak in a very nice way without being condescending or rude or trying to, you know, hit below the belt, so to speak. And you just see more and more of that. And I think it's just stresses in today's life. So there, you can actually work through issues, but you can do so in a very loving spirit, so to speak.
A lot of times I'll tell people because they complain about their spouses or, you know, their loved one about how crabby they are when they first come through the door. And I say, well, then don't greet them at the door with 30 questions or start blabbering about how horrible of a day you have had. Just give them a minute or two and let that person say, you know, I've had a bad day. Also, let's just take a couple deep breaths. Then we can talk about all of it. You know, just relax with it. Don't just greet them at the door and start banging them over the head with more stuff.
Isn't it true? That is so common. And it's an easy grind to get into to do that. I hear that a lot as well. Again, it's sort of that thought of having a chaotic life and it's unbalanced because there's so much to do and you may feel like you're doing it all and your spouse may feel like he or she is doing it all. And everyone then becomes very grumpy. That's not a good thing.
That's putting it mildly, too.
I know it. Oh, I'm being gentle here.
It says, becoming beautifully abundant.
Ah, that's one of my favorite articles. Definitely go on my website and look at this article. Beautifully abundant, you know, it's really about, you know, I speak of abundance and prosperity a lot. It's just, it's a wonderful topic that I like to speak about, but being abundant is more than being wealthy. It's being abundant and seeing the abundance of life in so many ways. I mean, I do think prosperity in terms of wealth is our birthright. I mean, I could talk about that subject for a very long time, but it's also about recognizing how beautifully abundant you are, about, you know, you fill your soul with beauty, and that's what radiates. That's all you see. And, like, I'm a person, every day I go out on a walk. It's one of my favorite things to do. I am such, I'm going to say, a spiritually sexy nature kind of gal. You know, you don't know that looking at me because I'm a girly girl, right? I get all done up and I love doing all that. But when it comes right down to it, my heart and soul is at its purest, finest, happiest when I'm out in nature. And being beautifully abundant is being able to recognize this beautiful earth and all of the animals and the flowers and the trees and taking in that so much as breathing that into your soul and allowing it to just become beautiful. I mean, abundance is all around us in this world that the media would like to say is in it very chaotic and there's all of these things going on. You can be at perfect peace. You can see the beauty in everything and your life can become beautifully abundant in this way. And that's what this article is about. It's not a very long article. I want to say it's like 2 pages. But it's the simple things like that that so many people are missing.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it is very simple, but people somehow, Pamela, do not believe it can be simple. They believe it has to be hard or you're not worth it or you're not going to get it.
Right, and that comes from raising your consciousness. That's in the consciousness of the lower levels of struggle and strife and limitation. And anytime people are in that lower vibe consciousness, it's because you haven't healed your blocks. That's a block that's not allowing you to see your greater good, which is God is loving. God's will for everyone is wealth and abundance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot convince me otherwise of this. I mean, you know, there are many teachings of, you know, if you really look at the symbology in the Bible and different spiritual masters that lived, they were all very wealthy. They were prosperous. You know, a lot of churches would have you believe that, you know, Jesus was poor and all of these things. That is not truth. You just have to learn how to read the parables of the Bible and understand the meanings behind that. So, you know, God's will is wealth and abundance on all levels for everyone. So if you're not living that life, you've got a block that is creating this, I'm not good enough somehow to receive that. you clear those energy blocks, people, you heal your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that profound. And
And it is. It's very, very simple. We're almost out of time, so can you do me a favor and let me give out your website again, your email address, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Nancy. Yeah. So it's www.spiritualityissexy.com. Pamela at spiritualityissexy.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Pamela J. McQuaid, McQuade, Pamela J. McQuaid on Facebook. And I love to hear from people and, you know, share. And like I said, on my website, I've got some articles that have been published. And you'll get a great sense about me because there's a lot of content on my website.
There's a lot. I actually read through all of it just to make sure that I wouldn't miss out on anything.
Thank you.
The other thing, Pamela, is give us the name of your book again.
Oh, yeah.
Give us an idea when it's coming out.
Yes. So is there any hot agents listening on this call? My book is called Popper to Princess, Three Keys to Unlock Your Inner Richness. The three keys are what I've been talking about, raising your consciousness, cleansing and healing your body, and filling your heart with love. And the book will be completed by the end of August. I mean, the entire manuscript is ready. I have written the book. So, and I'm very proud of it. It's funny. You know, Nancy, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this manuscript and doing it. I'm sure every author feels this way, but I'm just like, this book is divine substance. I am so proud of this book. It's just my soul. It's, you know, everything that I've been through, and I just feel like I've been guided divinely. It's beautifully written. I'm very proud of it, and certainly feel like it will be out sometime this fall.
Well, good. Well, I'll have to get a copy of that, Pamela.
Absolutely.
Having you on the show, I'd like to thank you so much.
Time
to be on the show, and we'll get together and talk some more about some things because there's a lot we have in common.
Yes, we do, and I do want to continue to stay in touch with you because there was something on my mind as well. But bless you, Nancy. I'm just always pleased to be on your show. I love what you're doing, you know, with your School of Now and with your radio show and all of that.
Oh, I thank you. And again, I thank you for being on the show. It's been my pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon.
Great. You take care. I'd like to make a quick announcement that, and I said it earlier during the show, that David Icke is going to be coming to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to the Hilton Santa Fe to help do a benefit one-day seminar. Everyone is invited to come. It only costs $50 for the entire day, and it is tax-deductible. You can find the information out on the website. I have two of them. You can go to nancypsychicresources.com, click on the Child's Miracle Mind, or you can go to childsmiraclemind.org, click on all the buttons. You'll see how great this endeavor that my angels and everybody wants me to do is going to be panning out. So God bless all of you. Speak and take care. Bye now.